In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are, finishing up the part one of the call of the priest to live in the divine will. And today we're going to go into, right after this first lesson here, the last lesson of calling the priest into the divine will, we're going to go into the way for the priest to conduct themselves. Okay, so Jesus says he's going to change the priesthood. This is what he said to Louisa. Everything is going to change for the better. He says to bring the priesthood to where he wanted it from the beginning. It's so glorious what God is doing. So we now start with volume 33, 10-4, 1935. And now Jesus is talking about the diversity of offices. And he says, as for the diversity of offices and actions, it is rather order and harmony of my infinite wisdom. So everything that God has set up is according to the divine order, the divine harmony of God's infinite wisdom. So he says, also in heaven, there are diverse choirs of angels, a diversity of saints. One is a martyr, another is a virgin, another is confessor. Upon my providence, maintains many different offices. So here is the beauty of what God is doing is many faceted, as he says. He wants us to begin to understand that he's doing things from a divine perspective, not a human perspective. And as he says, there's a diversity. He says, upon earth, my providence maintains many different offices. One is king, another is judge, another is priest, and some form the people, some command, some others are dependent. If all did one single office, what would be of the earth? It would be complete disorder. If everybody did the same thing, it would be complete disorder. So then he says, oh, if all understood that my divine will alone knows how to do great things. Okay, so Jesus showed Louisa the life of our Blessed Mother. He showed Louisa his own life. And he says how ordered, how perfect it is. In the divine view, everything is done perfectly. When Jesus said, it was the reading the other day, you must be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. This is what God wants from us, this perfection, this reflection of himself. And he says, this is what's done, he says, by living in the divine will. If you could understand, Jesus said, my divine will alone knows how to do great things. So God has got great things planned for all of humanity. Everything is ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Everything is ready for, as John Paul II says, a new and divine way of holiness. Everything is ready for, as he says, get ready for the third millennium. This is what John Paul II said. Get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church in the new springtime of mankind. This is what's coming. And in the divine will, it's going to be perfect. You know, a lot of people look for happiness in this life and they end up going to hell. Jesus says in the divine will, happiness is entering into holiness. And that's our happiness. Our happiness is to live a holy life. And what is the holy life? He says it knows how to do great things. This is the divine will. Though they may be small and insignificant, how they would all be happy. And each one would love the little place, the office in which God put them. So everything is planned by God. Everything in our life is planned. And in our human misery, our human will, we want what we want. And this is why there's wars. People want what they want. And Jesus says, everything is going to be peace. Everything is going to be order. Everything's going to be tranquility. So he says, but since they let themselves be lorded over by the human will, they would want to give of themselves to do some great action, which they cannot do. So I, you know, everybody thinks that they're going to be doing glorious things, and the glorious thing is spiritual. It's not the physical. Our bodies just are not made because of the fall to have this power that God breathed into Adam. But that's all coming back. What's coming back is the new and divine way of holiness. This is how Adam lived. But even more than Adam, on Holy Saturday night, we go happy fall of Adam. What is this? Why are we happy? Because we're now receiving the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. And so he says, so they are always, this is, people don't see this, so they're always discontent of the condition or the place in which my divine providence put them for their good. So in our life, everything that we're going to thank God for everything that we've gone through. When we get to heaven, we're going to thank God because we're going to see what God did in our life was to bring us to perfection the way he created us. And what he needs us to do is to, like he says, if people would only understood, my divine will alone knows how to do great things. The great things that God is asking of us is to begin to live in his will as what he wanted with Adam and all his children. So now we go into part two, the new way for the priests to conduct themselves. So we look at Exodus 19:6. And you shall be to me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. And these are the words that thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. So this holiness, this love of God that he's going to breathe into humanity, the way he breathed it into Adam. Now he's doing this in a very powerful way as we learn how to live in the divine will. 1 Maccabees 7:14. For they said, one is that is a priest of the seed of Aaron is to come. He will not deceive us. And that is the high priest, Jesus Christ. And he's going to, as he said to Louisa, perfect his priesthood. He's going to make it what he has planned from the beginning. So this is what's so great. 1 Maccabees 10:20. Now, therefore, we make thee this day high priest of thy nation. And thou shalt be called the king's friend. And he sent him a purple robe and a crown of gold, and that thou be of one mind with us in our affairs and keep friendship with us. So this us is the triune God. God wants us to begin to live this abundant life. We are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is what's coming for all of humanity. We're going to be one with God again, as he planned from the beginning. So finally, Psalm 5:9, conduct me, O Lord, in thy justice because of my enemies, direct my way in thy sight. So God's going to take care of everything. And when we enter into this divine will, this divine life that God is calling us to, great things are in store. Psalm 85:11, conduct me, O Lord, in thy way, and I will walk in thy truth, and let my heart rejoice that it may fear your name, Lord. And 1 Peter 2:5, be you also a living stones built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Leviticus 4:20, and the priest praying for them, the Lord will be merciful unto them. This is the thing that the priests are going to experience, the power of the priesthood, the blessings of the priest, which are Jesus's blessings, the blessings and the amazing miracles that Jesus promises is going to come to humanity through his priesthood. The miracles are, he says, unheard of prodigies are coming to the earth through his priesthood. When you look at a village in Italy, you know, an old village on a mountain, the highest point of the mountain is the church. And why is that? That is because it's supposed to lead the priest is to lead everyone to God. And this is what Jesus is going to do. And he says, I'm going to teach you a new way of living in the divine will and working for the reign of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. So volume 6, 9 to 1904, after this, I found myself outside of myself and I could see the Holy Father assisted by our Lord in writing about a new way in which priests must conduct themselves, that what they must do, what they must not do, and where they must not go. So here, as the priest is the shepherd, Jesus says, this is what I'm going to teach the priests, how to lead my people to me, not to go any wrong way, not to lead them in a direction that's not towards me. So this is what he's saying. She saw the Holy Father assisted by Jesus in writing about a new way in which the priest must conduct themselves. Now, this must isn't a hope. You know, you must do this. It's a command. When Jesus was found in the temple by Joseph and Mary, Mary said, why did you do this to me and your father? And Jesus says, did you not know I must be in my father's house? This must is what God has planned. This is it's going to happen. It's not wishful thinking. And that's what's happening here. The priest must conduct themselves in this new way, what the priest must do, what they must not do, and where they must not go. And he attached a penalty for those who would not surrender to the obedience to the Holy Father. We're going to hear probably something like that pretty shortly. And it's going to be interesting to see. God has got plans. And a number of times, Luis's spiritual confessor would say something exactly opposite of what Jesus told Luisa. And she'd say, Jesus, he's saying something completely opposite. I should I obey him? And Jesus said, yes. And she said, well, it's against what you're saying. And he says, I'll take care of that. Learn to obey. And see, Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient. And what Jesus taught Luisa is how to be obedient, even when we don't understand, how to be faithful, even when we don't understand. And he says, that's how I lived. It was not my will, but my heavenly Father. Let your will be done. It was Mary's will. She says, let it be done as you say. Fiat mihi, let it happen to me the way you want. So this is what's happening here. The Holy Father, this is the Holy Father that's going to come. He might be here, through what we were hoping. It was John Paul II. We were hoping it was Pope Benedict. We were hoping it was Francis. It might still be, Benedict. So it might still be Francis. It still might be the Pope that is coming. We don't know. But we know that this is what's going to happen because this is what Jesus showed Luisa. If Ephesians 5:11, as for the thankless deeds men do in the dark, you, this is what he's talking to us, the priest, must not take any part in them. Rather, your conduct must be a rebuke to them. So again, the Lord is saying it's not going to continue the way it has been going for a time. Jesus says it's a new beginning that's coming for all of humanity, but he says he's going to start with the priests and under the direction of the Pope, because when you read the three appeals, Luisa says, Holy Father, you are the head of the church. Therefore, you're the head of the divine will. And therefore, you must be the first to receive this gift. So here she's telling us who's the first is going to be. A lot of people say, well, I'm living in the divine will. No, the Holy Father must be the first to live in the divine will. And she says, since you will be the first, it will be through your authoritative voice that will lead your priests to live in the divine will. And then the priests will lead the people to Jesus and his church and his holy church. And then he says, and there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. This dream of Jesus is going to happen. It's going to be done. There's not many religions. There's not many universal lives. There's one universal life. And that's what we're going to experience. We're going to experience how powerful the church is. Right now, Jesus says the priests are the laughingstock of humanity. And he says, I'm going to use this to purify my priesthood. I'm going to use this so that the priests will be able to really be what he has called them to be, alter Christus, another Christ. This is the reason for the priesthood. And Jesus is going to do this. He said, I must purify my church. I must purify the world before this gift is given to the world. So that's why we're going through everything that's happening. Jesus is in charge, and he's going to take care of everyone and everything. So he says this, number one, linked with Louisa. See, this is important. Jesus said, Louisa, you are the first one to be linked to the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. You are the very first one. The saints had virtues or two of Jesus and Mary. But you, Louisa, have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So the linked with it, Louisa, the priest must follow. Now, this must is God's doing this, okay? Step by step, the way the Blessed Mother conducted herself with God. So the very first thing is to live this life, the priest must have a love for the Blessed Mother. His life, you know, should be what Our Lady asked of Fatima, the three things, you know, pray the rosary, wear the scapular, and attend First Saturday Masses. Pray the rosary with the community. Pray the rosary with your people. Lead the people. If you haven't done the St. Louis de Montfort consecration, lead your people to make this consecration. You know, make sure that the people's houses are consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's to lead the people in prayer. And yes, the Holy Mass is the perfect prayer, but also their daily prayer, which Our Lady asks for. So again, a love for our Blessed Mother, honoring our Blessed Mother, truly taking care of her as John did, when Jesus said, this is John, this is your mother, to Mary, this is your son, to have this love for the Blessed Virgin Mary, to, honor her. Now, in the Divine Will, if you haven't read it yet, it's called The Prodigies of the Blessed Mother. And the prodigies of the Blessed Mother are everything that Jesus says about his mother. And this is what he says. This is how he starts. He says, the saints have talked about my mother, how the beauty of my mother, the perfection of my mother. He says, but no one can tell you how beautiful she is more than I can. And that's what the prodigies are. When you read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother, he keeps on expanding our capacity to understand Theotokos, the Mother of God. We begin to see her in a way. Now, we've read the great saints, St. Louis de Montfort, St. Bernard, St. Maximian Kolbe. We've read the treasures that they brought to us through their meditations. Jesus is speaking directly from his heart to our hearts when we read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother. And they're free. Everything is free on luisapicaretta.me. Read. Listen to what Jesus is saying when he talks about his mother. The prodigies are astonishing. They're just astonishing. We also have, you know, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And again, teach the people how to live those first six steps, the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. She taught Louisa how to surrender your human will to live in the divine will. And it's not just one time you go, I surrender my human will. No, it's you go through every layer of who we are. It's like an onion to get to the point of where we can completely abandon ourselves to lead the people to abandon themselves to the Blessed Mother. Jesus is still obedient to his mother. And when you pray to the Blessed Mother, you can be sure of what he said before. Ask, believe that you received it, and it is yours. That's to Jesus. But when we pray and ask Our Lady to intercede, God always says yes. The beauty of what Jesus is showing Luisa is, the priest must follow step by step. This is the first six steps in the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. The way the Blessed Mother conducted herself with God, the way she taught Luisa how to live in the divine will. These first six steps are, so important that after Holy Communion, this is one way that we can get closer to God, the way Our Lady taught Luisa, these first six steps to begin to live this life that God breathed into Adam. So Jesus, the Psalm 85:11, conduct me, O Lord, in thy way, and I will walk in thy truth. See, that's what Jesus is, the way, the truth. And he speaks this truth about his mother. It's just so beautiful. Let my heart rejoice that I may fear thy name. So when you begin to, when the priest has a love for the Blessed Mother and leads the people in prayer, leads the people in consecration, leads the people in loving the Blessed Mother on her feast days. Now, in Luisa Picaretta.me, there's the feast of the Blessed Mother. Every day there's a feast of the Blessed Mother. And you can help the people begin to understand why he loves his mother so much and why she has gone all around the world to prepare the world for the return of her son. And the closer we get to the Blessed Mother, the happier we become, because we experience this heaven on earth with Mary. Volume 19, 416, 1926, the Creator poured himself out upon the Blessed Mother, giving the Blessed Mother so much love that Our Lady possessed enough love to be able to love God for all of humanity, past, present, and future. This love that was given to the Blessed Mother is now hers, and now she can take our place in front of God. And that's what she's doing. To be able to love Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all of humanity. The wonderful thing is Our Lady loves us as much. She loves us as she loves her son. She loves Jesus a little more, but now she loves all of us. She loves all of us as her children. And this is what Jesus says. God communicated to the Blessed Mother the highest concord and the one will of the three divine persons. So Mary is the first human to possess this fullness of the divine will. She's Theotokos, Mother of God. No one can compare to the Blessed Mother. No one would ever be able to equal the Blessed Mother. And that's what's so important, that the priest has to have this love for Our Lady, has to lead the people to Our Lady, because she leads us to her son. So God communicated to the Blessed Mother the highest concord in the one will of the three divine persons in such a way that the Blessed Mother was able to adore for all of humanity in a divine manner and to make up for all the duties of humanity. When we fall in love with the Blessed Mother, I mean, Jesus loves her the most, really. I mean, when you think about it, he Theotokos, she is Theotokos, the Mother of God. And she is, Jesus says, when you read the prodigies, he explains that what God did with Our Lady in the beginning of time was to prepare the world for him, to prepare the world to receive this abundant life of Jesus and Mary through her. Jesus has done it. Jesus has accomplished it. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. But she was with him on Calvary, with him, with him, with the Redeemer, co-Redeemer. And the beautiful thing is, the more we understand our life on earth, the more we begin to understand, because of her fiat, Jesus could redeem humanity. And this is what's happening. She says she was able to adore for all of humanity in a divine manner and to make up for all of humanity, all the duties that a human owed to God. Every I love you, every heartbeat, every breath, every thought, every word, every deed. She did everything one with us, one with Jesus. And you're going to discover the amazing truths that Jesus gave to Louisa about his mother. Had it not been so, it would not have been a truth, but just a manner of speaking, that the celestial mother surpassed everyone in sanctity. She surpassed everyone in love. This is why we pray with her. She knows who her son is. She knows she's the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. That's how she introduced herself to Bruno in 1947 in Our Lady of Revelation. But whenever we speak, we triune God speak, it is facts, not words. So here, now this helps us understand when we read the Book of Heaven, Jesus is speaking to us. So he says, when we triune God speak, it is facts, not words. So this word that he speaks is infinite. He says it's a divine life that he gives. He speaks it. And this life, see, because everything that God does lives, right? This life that he's giving to us, it keeps on expanding for all eternity. The more we study, the more we read, like it's sacred scripture. When you read sacred scripture in the divine will, it becomes more alive. You're gonna see this. When we study our dogma and doctrine, it becomes more alive because each word, he expands our capacity to embrace it even more. This is why God is saying everything's going to change. We're going to enter through, this is what St. Honorable de Francia said, a new and divine way of holiness. So he says, therefore, we triune God found everything in the Blessed Mother. We found everything in her. And that's what's going to happen with us. We're going to see things from a divine perspective. That's what the Book of Heaven does. You begin to understand things from a point of view that is Jesus's point of view. It's to see things from his perspective. She says, and having found everything in everyone, therefore we found everything in the Blessed Mother, having found everything in everything, we triune God gave the Blessed Mother everything, constituting the Blessed Mother queen and mother of her very creator. Theotokos, mother of God. Now, my daughter of my supreme will. Now, here he shows us a glimpse of Louisa, my daughter of the supreme will. That's one of her titles. Louisa has about 2,200 titles that's in the Book of Heaven. And when you go through those titles, holy cow, you begin to understand what God is doing is so astonishing that you become filled with joy. You become filled with happiness. She says, now my daughter, my supreme will, a soul who wants everything, and hopefully that's us, must enclose everything and place everything at the top of all of the acts of all as prime act. And that's a talk we're going to be giving in the second week of April, May, and June. There's three parts to it. The prime act of God. This prime act of God, this is for the children of the divine will to enter into this prime act of God. So he says, Jesus says that picture the divine will as the sun in the sky. Okay. And he says, now I'm going to show you the saints. This is what he's telling Louisa. The saints circle the sun like a halo, praising God, loving God, glorifying God, worshiping God, adoring God. He says, that's their role, is to recognize God and praise God, love God, glorify God. But then Jesus says, what I've saved for humanity is what he wanted Adam and all his children to possess. And that was to enter into the Son of the divine will and participate in God. The prime act of God is the single act of God. God isn't doing many, many acts. He is who he is. The prime act of who God is what God is calling us to enter into. So this is what he says. He says, so the soul must be at the very top of every love, every adoration, every glory of every creature. Okay, so he's saying, I just don't want you to be good and holy and saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10. You must accomplish this sanctity. But you must go to the next step, which is enter into living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's volume 11 through volume 19. And then he says, I want you to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, which is volume 20 through volume 36. A lot of people say, well, I want to read that first. And it's like, you got to have a basis. You have to strive to become a saint. So that's 1 through 10. And we're going to learn the way Jesus taught Louisa how to live this life. And then we go into living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then God then shows us how to enter into this divine inheritance of the Father. This is what Adam possessed before he fell. This is the life that our God wants us to possess. So it says, therefore, the soul must be at the top of every love, every adoration, every glory of every soul. He says, my divine will is everything. And this is why the mission of the Sovereign Queen and yours, Louisa, can be called one. They entered into the prime act of God. What Our Lady has done is what God wanted from the beginning, one with him. So amazing. God wants us to participate in him. Okay. And what the saints have taught us is how to be good, holy, and saintly. What Jesus taught Louisa is, he goes, I want more than that. I want to share more with my children than what I have with the saints. I mean, we love the saints, and the saints have helped us learn how to do the will of God. But now Jesus says, I want more for my children. Now is the time, he says, that the kingdom is going to be established on earth the way it's in heaven. What does that mean? That means the evil one who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. Everything that's happening is to get us ready for the kingdom of God on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. And, you know, it's really funny. Jesus and Mary are going to be with us fully in a way. You have to understand it's not what the, you know, some people say, you know, Jesus is going to be walking on the earth with everybody. No, we're going to participate in God in a way. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that we're going to possess. If God isn't going to be 1,000 miles away, where we pray to God, it's what he taught Louisa. The kingdom of God is within you. Okay. So this is what Jesus said to the apostles. So he says to Louisa, your heart is Jesus's throne. He's going to teach us how to accomplish that. Now we've made consecrations to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We've made consecrations to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but Jesus is saying, I want more for my children. And it's the priests who are going to give this to the laity. A lot of people still don't understand what the priesthood is about. Jesus explains it very, very clearly. The priesthood is Jesus healing. Okay. And the priests are going to teach the people how this is going to be accomplished. So when you think about it, if we're living in the divine will, Jesus is gazing in our gazing. Mary is gazing in our gazing. Jesus is listening in our listening. He says, I made the human senses for God. That's what Jesus tells Louisa. And we're to see God and to smell God and to taste God and to touch God. And it's all our senses are going to be coming alive. And as Catholics, we see God. We see Jesus in the monstrance. When the gospel is proclaimed, we hear, maybe not with our ears, but we hear in our heart, mind, and soul, Jesus speaking to us. When we smell the incense, we smell the odor of sanctity, that we see our prayers going up to the throne of God. Our senses are becoming alive. You know, so what God has planned, and this is what he's saying, this is why he wants us to be aware of this. It's a new beginning for humanity. But it's really not new. It's the way Adam lived before the fall. And God wants humanity to have this abundant life. Now again, I've mentioned it before. What did Adam's DNA look like? What did it look like? It was the image and likeness of God. What does our DNA look like? Get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. That's not part of God's plan. So what's coming is the as he says, get ready for the new heavens, the new earth, get ready for the glory of the church, get ready for the new springtime of mankind, get ready for the kingdom of God being established on earth as it is in heaven, where the evil one is going to be banished, not just from earth, but from our solar system, from our galaxy, from our universe. He's going to be gone. He's going where he belongs. What's coming is Jesus tells Louisa, There will be a purification, he says, with his church and with the world. But he mentions it a few times. Out of the 36 volumes, you could probably put all that on two pages, maybe three. But he doesn't dwell on it. He says, I have to give humanity what they want. I have to give humanity what they long for. The devil longed for hell, and I had to give this to him. What do we long for? See, this is the role of the priest, to lead people in the sacraments and the sacramentals of the church, to show them there is more to life than the things of this world. And this is what he says. He says it very, very clearly. My will is everything. My divine will is everything, he says. This is why the mission of the Sovereign Queen and yours, Louisa, can be called one. And you, Louisa, must follow step by step the way she conducted herself with God. And that's the priest's role. What Jesus breathes into Louisa, Louisa says, I have to give to, Jesus says, you have to give this to the priests first, who will then teach the people how to do this. So each priest, in his unique way, will be able to show his community, his parish, his group, how to live this abundant life. And this is what happens. To be able to receive the divine attitude in order to have within yourself a love which says love for all of humanity, an adoration which adores for all of humanity, a glory which diffuses throughout all created things. That's the role of the priest. What Jesus says to Louisa, Jesus says, you must give this to the priests. And he says, then my priests will do this. This is what he says. To receive the divine attitude in order to have within yourself a divine love, which says love for all of humanity, a divine adoration, which adores for all of humanity, a divine glory, which diffuses through all created things. You must be our echo. The priest is the voice. The voice given to humanity. They must hear Jesus. The priest must be our echo, the echo of our celestial mother, because she alone lived perfectly and fulfilled fully in the supreme will. So we're going to echo what Our Lady teaches Louisa. We're going to echo what Jesus taught Louisa. She put everything down on paper so it can be learned. And I have told you that in the secret archives of the Vatican, her thumbprints were etched on the pages. She focused on this book. She studied it. She learned it. She lived it. It's not you just read, oh, I possess it. No. Jesus says you can have as much as you want or as little as you want. You can have 30, 60, or 100-fold. Whatever you want, Jesus says, I'm going to give to you. What do you want? This is what he's saying. He says, you must follow step by step the way Our Lady conducted herself with God to be able to receive the divine attitude within yourself, to love for all of humanity, to adore with for all humanity, to glory and diffuse this glory for all of all created things. You're going to learn how to see the divine I love you in creation. All the divine I love yous of everything. He said, every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water is an I love you to humanity. And humanity's response to God, it has to be his I love you. Not a human I love you. See, he breathed this ruah of God, this breath of God in humanity. And humanity has to learn how to breathe this back to God. And it's the priest. He says this. Again, our echo, the echo of our celestial mother, because she alone lived perfectly and fully in the supreme will. So we're going to learn how to do that and give this to our prayer groups, give this to our parish, give this to our communities. That's our job. And so our whole focus is going to be this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that was given to Louisa and now can be given to all the world. Jesus says this, therefore, Our Lady can be your guide. Our Lady can act as your teacher. And that's what's so beautiful about this is like a good mother, she is going to feed us. She's going to feed us with what Jesus said. She alone lived perfectly and fully in the supreme will. So this first thing is the priest must be linked to Louisa, so that we can be linked to the Blessed Mother. I want to love Our Lady as Louisa did. That's what Jesus is saying. Follow step by step the way the Blessed Mother conducted herself with God. She is the perfect example. She is the perfect example. Next to her son, of course. Jesus is the example. But she followed everything that who he is. She lived perfectly and fully in the supreme will. And that's what God wants for his priests. Perfectly and fully in the supreme will. See, Jesus says the Blessed Mother wants her children to have everything that God breathed into her, as much as they want, or as little as they want. But she wants to overflow it. As Jesus says, I want to have this overflowing. I want to fill you to the brim to overflowing. It's very close. Everything is very, very close to what God is going to do. And this is why we have the book of heaven. Jesus says to prove it's going to happen, I've given Louisa the book of heaven that Jesus gave the title to. And he says that the one who's in charge of this book is Saint Honorable de Francia. He's in charge of the book. Now, Saint John Paul II said about Saint Honorable de Francia, he is the one that you pray to for vocations to the priesthood. This is his job, Saint Honorable de Francia. So even though he died before he got 1 through 19 published, he's still in charge. Jesus says he's going to finish his role of having the book of heaven given to all the world in heaven. Pray to Saint Honorable de Francia, especially for vocations. There's many vocations out there, many vocations. And we got to pray that God answers this prayer, that they can follow this life that Jesus has called them to be, as he says, our echo, the echo of the celestial mother. Mary alone lived perfectly and fully in the supreme will. Therefore, she can be your guide. She can act as your teacher. Great things are in store. Amazing things are going to happen. Don't be worried about anything. Pray. When you pray in the divine will, as we saw, you're praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Jesus is going to teach you that through Louisa. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, And we pray that all the little children of the Holy Divine will be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.